빙그룬 싱거랑가 Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya I'm going to be reading text 33 and we'll go back to 25 because there's short or no purports in between. Nagarhayanti yarteshu Yavishtan griha vadanam Shandobhyon yatra na brahman Vayo jaishtasya karanam Nagarhayanti yarteshu Yavishta griyam bhivadanam Sandobhyo nyatra na brahman Vayo jaishta yasya karanam Nagarhayanti yarteshu Dantobhyo nyatra na brahman Vayo jaishtyasya karanam Nagarhayanti yarteshu Yavishtyangyadibhivadanam Chandobhyo nyatra chandam Vayo jaishtyasya karanam Nagarhayanti harteshu Chandobhyo nyatra na brahman Vayo jaishtyasya karanam. Ladies? Nagarhayanti yarteshu Jaishtyabhyankami vyadanam Sandobhyo nyatrana brahman Vayo jaishtyasya karanam Na not garhayanti forbid he indeed arteshu in acquiring interests yavishta angri at the lotus feet of a junior Abhivadanam, offering obeisances. Chandobhyaha, the Vedic mantras. Anyatra, apart from. Na, not. Brahman, O Brahmana. Vayaha, age. Jaishtasya, of seniority. Karanam, the cause. The demigods continued, Do not fear criticism for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relationship to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age, but one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relationship to us, you may become our priest without hesitation. And before I read the purport, I'll go back and start with text 25 and go forward. Translation, O demigods, this is Brahma speaking to the demigods, I instruct you to approach Vishvarup, the son of Tvashta, and accept him as your guru. He is pure and very powerful Brahmana, undergoing austerity and penances. Pleased by your worship, he will fulfill your desires, provided that you tolerate his being inclined to side with the demons. Purport. Lord Brahma advised the demigods to accept the son of Tvashta as their spiritual master, although he was always inclined toward the benefit of asuras. Text 26. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, thus advised by Lord Brahma and relieved of their anxiety, all the demigods went to the sage Vishwarup, the son of Tvashta, my dear king. They embraced him and spoke as follows. The demigods said, beloved Vishwarup, may there be all good fortune for you. We, the demigods, have come to your ashram as your guests. Please try to fulfill our desires. According to time, since we are on the level of your parents, O Brahmana, the highest duty of a son, even though he has no sons of his own, is to serve his parents. And what to speak of a son who is a brahmachari? The acharya, the spiritual master, who teaches all Vedic knowledge and gives initiation by offering the sacred thread, is the personification of all the Vedas. Similarly, a father personifies Lord Brahma, a brother, King Indra, a mother, the planet Earth, a sister, Mercy. A guest personifies religious principles. An invited guest personifies the demigod Agni. And all living entities personify Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. According to the moral instructions of Chanakya Pandit, Atmavat Sarvabhuteshu, one should observe all living entities to be on the same level as oneself. This means that no one should be neglected as inferior, because Paramatma is seated in everybody's heart, seated in everyone's body. Everyone should be respected as a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This verse describes the different ways in which one should respect a guru, a father, a brother, sister, guest, and so on. Text 31. Dear son, we have been defeated by our enemies, and therefore we are very much aggrieved. Please, mercifully, fulfill our desires by relieving our distress through the strength of your austerities. Please fulfill our desires. Text 32. Since you are completely aware of the Supreme Brahman, you are a perfect Brahmana, and therefore you are the spiritual master of all orders of life. We accept you as our spiritual master and director, so that by the power of your austerity, we may easily defeat the enemies who have conquered us. Then on the transcendental platform. Purport. One must approach a particular type of guru to execute a particular type of duty. Therefore, although Vishvarup was inferior to the demigods accepted him as their guru to conquer the demons. And then this verse, text 33. The demigods continued. Do not fear criticism for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relationship to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age. But one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relationship to us, you may become our priest without hesitation. Purport. It is said, Vridhatvam vayasa vina. One may be senior without being advanced in age. Even if one is not old, one gains seniority if he is senior in knowledge. Vishwarup was junior in relationship to the demigods because he was their nephew. But the demigods wanted to accept him as their priest, and therefore he would have to accept obeisances from them. The demigods explained that this should not be a cause for hesitation. He should become their priest because he was advanced in Vedic knowledge. Similarly, Chanakya Pandit advises, Nichat api uttamam jnanam. One may accept education from a member of a lower social order. The brahmanas, the members of the most elevated varna, are teachers. But a person in a lower family, such as a family of kshatriyas, vaishyas, or even shudras, may be accepted as a teacher if he has knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of this when he expressed this opinion before Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8, 128. Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kene noi, ye Krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. It does not matter whether one is a brahmana, shudra, grahasta, or sannyasi. These are all material designations. A spiritually advanced person has nothing to do with such designations. Therefore, if one is advanced in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his position in human society, he may become a spiritual master. Omagyana timarandasya gananjana sadakaya chakshodan meditam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I'm going to go back to the message of text 25 because it becomes important later on. Brahma has been approached by the demigods, headed by Indra, because Indra did it again. Indra made a little boo-boo. And he seems to have a knack for doing it again and again. So this previous one was, he had a big festival in Indraloka, and it was to honor Indra. It was all about him. And so many heavenly personalities and kinnaras and apsaras and gandharvas, and they were dancing and singing and describing the praises of Indra. And he was full of himself. And because of that, when Brihaspati entered, he didn't even notice that Brihaspati entered, and he was just carrying on full of himself. And Brihaspati could easily understand the mind of Indra. So without saying a word, he just turned silently and left the palace and left Indraloka. Like, he walked. He's a detached brahmana, and he left. And the festival went on and on, and at the end of the festival, his wife said, did you notice what happened? uh-oh, what happened? Brihaspati was offended. So he searched everywhere for Brihaspati, all the royal palace people searching everywhere for Brihaspati and couldn't find him. And bad news travels fast. Good news travels slower. The demigods found out Brihaspati has left. Shukracharya said, this is a good time to go invade militarily, take over Indra's palace because the protection of Brihaspati has now been gone because they offended him. Do the needful. So they went and took over. And Indra lost everything because he offended Brihaspati. So not knowing what to do, he went to Lord Brahma. What to do? I lost my kingdom. And Brahma is now speaking, saying, you know, you did it again. When are you going to learn? But you've come to me, here's a solution. There's a very qualified person, the son of Trashta, Vishwarup, and if you approach him, he will take care of, he's very liberal, he'll take care of your needs. He's very qualified. The message here is, provided that you tolerate his being inclined to side with the demons. Now, why is he inclined? Why would the demigods want a priest who's inclined to side with the demons? Well, they're up against the wall. They lost their kingdom. And here's a person qualified to help them get back their kingdom. So it was a compromise. The reason for this being disposed towards the demons is explained later. Twashta is being equated as being on the same level as the demigods, and therefore Vishwarup is the demigod's nephew, something like brother's son is their nephew. So Twashta married one of the descendants of Diti. So he married a Daitya wife. And because Vishwarup was the son of a Daitya mother and a qualified Brahmana, he had some affection for his mother and her mother's relatives, and that served to be a problem later on. Problem for the demigods. And so they forgot what Brahma said. Because when they're in difficulty, they're looking for a pragmatic solution. But when it crossed their selfishness, when Vishwarup was giving the results of his yajna, where the immortal nectar was being given to the demigods, he slipped some to the side for the daityas. And when Indra found out, he was furious. And he did another stupid Indra move. He cut off the heads of Vishwarup. Vishwarup had three heads. This picture is on the wall in the Brooklyn Temple from the BBT. And I always wondered, who is that? Until I read the sixth canto. So he had three heads, one for different functions. He was very specialized. One was for chanting Vedic mantras, one was for eating, and the other was for regular conversation. So he had three heads. But he was very expert in chanting Vedic mantras. And that's being honored here. So, the demigods, this is the nature of material happiness. You lose that which you have, you become unhappy. The opportunity to regain which you've lost is provided you again become happy. And then again, he loses it because He killed Vishwarup, the means of getting him, making him happy. Not a very principled individual at times when his material desires get in the way. So, encouraged by the indication of Lord Brahma, they go to Vishwarup, and there's a degree of cleverness. People that have material intelligence not necessarily are straightforward in their dealings, so they use flattering words to get what they want. So that's what they're doing. Oh, Vishwarup. Oh, great Brahmana. The first thing is, you better give us what we want, because we're your superiors. We're like your father, so we're like your uncles, and it's the duty of the son to follow the indication of your father, although we're not your father. We're just like invoking that status of like your father, and you should do what we say. And especially when you don't even have a son. It's the duty of the father to look after his children, but it's the duty of the father to look up to his father. And you don't even have any children, so like, you have to say yes before we say what we want. Diplomacy. And then they turn it right around and say, although you should do what we want you to take a position superior to us. And they're very clear why they want him to take his position superior. We want our kingdom back. And you're our instrument to get our kingdom back, so we'll pay obeisance to you, although you're our junior. And it's okay for you to accept our obeisances and our worship because you're expert in Vedic mantras. And one who is expert in Vedic mantras, the rule of seniority doesn't apply to you. I mean, the rule of our superiority to you, which they've already invoked, doesn't apply to you because you're expert in Vedic mantras. So there are standards for considering superiority. Age is one, and those persons that are elderly, in Vedic culture and even outside of Vedic culture, one should respect elderly just because they're elderly. Even if they're, you know, a little grumpy or cranky, or, you know, their behavior is not so nice, because of their age, they're to be respected. Just culture. And it's part of Vedic culture. So the demigods, like with Prahlad Maharaj, the demigods he saw as his superiors. But because his superiors were asking some service, he was obliged. Although he didn't feel qualified, he was under their order to offer prayers to Lord Ishringadev. So he approached Lord Ishringadev on their order. So when there's respect, it's one thing to say yes sir, no sir, or like that, some honorific address. But respect goes beyond just honorific. It follows service. Like for a cultured person for sure, or an honest person for sure. Like Krishna says in the first of the Chaturshloki verses of Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pavartate iti matva vajante mam. Iti matva means thus knowing. Thus knowing that Krishna is the source of everything. Everything comes from him. Thus knowing vajante mam. Unless you're like dishonest. Everything comes from Krishna, but, you know, I got my arms across my chest saying, I don't care, or something. It's something else. It's not Krishna, or something, some philosophical jugglery. But if one understands Krishna's position as the source of everything, what do? You serve him. And that's conventional, besides spiritual. Just conventionally, supposing, well, maybe not, our governor here in California's kind of fallen into a shameful position. But supposing the mayor of the city was going to come visit, and we knew the mayor of the city is coming, what would we do? We honor him. Just proper. You know, just natural, conventional. So, what to speak of, those that are highly cultured, they're governed by these principles of respect. The example is given in the Bhagavatam in several places, a metaphor. Like a bull that has a ring in his nose, and he's governed by, because the nose of the bull is very sensitive, even he's this big, powerful guy, his nose is very sensitive, and if there's a ring in his nose and you pull this way, he goes this way. You pull that way, he goes that way, because his nose is sensitive. And the Bhagavatam specifically says that those who are cultured persons similarly place the injunctions of the Vedas as the principles that govern their lives, like the bull that has a ring in his nose. And one of the things with training animals, this is a little side note I learned from Varsana Swami, that when you pull the rope to the left, you say, whichever one it is, gi, and the other one is ha. And so after some time, you don't even need to pull a rope, you just say gi or ha, and they go left or they go right. So he had trained some animals that he would stand at the fence of the agricultural field, and he just called commands, gi and ha, and, you know, stop and go and turn around, and they would plow the field. He's just like, you know, standing at the fence. Because it's a principle. So if you can train an animal, you can certainly train a cultured person. There's an utterance of the Vedas that says, this is a principle that you're to respect. So you respect. Just because it's a principle that you respect. Then it gets complicated because there are other principles that supersede a principle. And if one isn't very knowledgeable in the Vedas, you can follow a principle and still be wrong because you're disrespecting a higher principle. So the demigods, while they know that there are principles, they don't always follow them. And at least when they don't, they get in trouble, like Indra disrespected Brihaspati, or Indra cut off the head of Vishvarup. Heads, plural, all three of them. That's not Vedic. And he had a big problem. Even Indra has, anyone, what to speak of Indra, ourselves, if we don't properly respect, then there is a problem. So age, ashram, brahmanas are, amongst varnas, brahmanas are to be respected, amongst ashrams, sannyasas to be respected. That doesn't mean sannyasis and brahmanas and elderly people, they have a license to misbehave and it's okay, everyone should respect them. They have their obligation, but those others have their obligation also. And one's seniority, like, you know, let's say amongst the assembly of Vaishnavas, there are Prabhupada disciples, and there are those that were initiated very, very early in the Hare Krishna movement as Prabhupada disciples. So we have some respect just naturally because of that seniority. Of course, it's nice if they continue to practice nicely, the same as they did when they first started. But, you know, even in that case, we may have some great appreciation for persons who initially joined and helped Srila Prabhupada. We may make some judgments about if their conduct is bad, it does something else. But still, there's some aura of respect, simply because so some deference that's extended because of that seniority. Now, the point of the purport here that Prabhupada is making is Chanakya Pandit said the same thing. One who has knowledge can be one's teacher, even if they're from a lower caste, you know, from the caste position, that's a no-no. You don't accept as a teacher. It's like a woman doesn't marry a man in Vedic culture unless the man is of the same or higher status of occupation. And one doesn't accept a teacher that's in a lower position. One accepts a teacher that's in an equal or higher position. But if they're fixed in knowledge of the Vedas, Chanakya Pandit says, they can be accepted as a teacher. Or then this reference of Lord Chaitanya speaking to Ramananda Roy, to become guru, doesn't matter what the social, the varna or ashram position is. If they have knowledge of Krishna, they're to be respected. They can be respected as guru. Ye Krishna tattva vetase guru hoy. So knowledge is very much revered in Vedic culture. Specifically, even, the language that Prabhupada uses is, it doesn't matter what these designations, what these statuses are. It does not matter whether one is a brahmana, shudra, grahastha, or sannyasi. These are all material designations. Upadis, sarva upadi vinir muktam. So that's like a beginning line of the standard of practicing devotional service. So a devotional service is on another platform. A Vaishnava is on a platform that is superior to the topmost of the Varnas, the Brahmana. Bhaktisiddhanta delivered a whole two-day-long lecture and wrote a paper connected with this topic, Brahmanism and Vaishnavism. And read through it, and it's typically Bhaktisiddhanta, Saraswati Thakur, up there. Text where just the history of it was big issue between persons that were arguing, both learned it in two different camps of which is superior. So they turned to Bhaktivinoda Thakur to preside over an assembly that would settle the issue. Good luck. With intellectuals that are dug in on two sides to settle an issue isn't easy. So they called upon Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very ill. And he was in his bed lamenting. Is there not one person in the whole of this land that can address this issue and resolve? And he was like very unhappy. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, if you instruct me to do so, I'll go. Yes, you should go. So this paper was presented the first day, big assembly, speaking Brahmanism, 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 Brahmanas are the topmost, the Brahmanas are so, and with so many scriptural references and explanations, and a whole day's worth of it. And the Brahmanas were thinking, yes, here's an intelligent person. He's really learned. He's good. He knows the truth. Yay, Bhaktisiddhanta. And then the next day was, but the Vaishnava is the superlative position of a perfected Brahmana. When a Brahmana becomes fully qualified, he becomes Vaishnava. So Vaishnava is superior in scriptural reference and explanation and so many things. And that was the end of the. That's the purport of this two-day presentation. With wonderful quotes. It's translated or it's available in a published form if you like to read Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur literature. And just at least in principle, that's what's being presented here as well. Sarva upadi vinir muktam tatvaratvena nirmalam. Devotional service begins from the platform of rejecting, identifying oneself according to a material designation. So although we don't identify ourselves with the body and the designations of the position of body, look around the room. I see some persons wearing saffron. I see some persons wearing white. I see some persons wearing yellow. I see some, you know, I see markings of different designations. And I thought, we're not supposed to pay attention to those things. Therefore, if one is advanced in the science of Krishna consciousness, a spiritually advanced person has nothing to do with such designations. So what do we have something to do with such designations? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself applied both the Pancharatrika system and the Vaidika system in a comprehensive manner. We observe distinctions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu observed his role as a sannyasi in various ways. Very strictly observed his role as a sannyasi. At the same time, indicates that's not our identity. So we may observe, according to the example set by our acharyas, we may very well observe distinctions, but we don't identify with them as our real identity. We observe etiquettes, but we don't identify with that as our true identity. The true identity is Krishna's eternal servant. And who doesn't fall under the category of being Krishna's eternal servant? The answer is there isn't such an entity that doesn't fall under the category of Krishna's eternal servant. Now, we allow for distinctions of social position. Here it's the position of learning of Vedic mantras. We honor those things, but we don't identify with those things. We observe etiquettes that are social in nature because it helps. Why? It helps the smooth functioning of society, and which facilitates spiritual elevation. For that purpose, towards that end, we observe distinctions and observe etiquettes accordingly. While doing so, we're enjoined to not identify like that. And therefore, because of that, one can accept a spiritual master from any position, from someone who has knowledge of Krishna. Ye Krishna tattva peta se guru hoy. And that's the application of this little very ancient dialogue between the demigods and Vishwarup on what's the place of social etiquette when it comes to spiritual functions. It's not exactly even a spiritual function, because what's being asked of Vishwarup is to be the Purohit, that is the performer of Karmakanda Yajnas, because that's what he's going to do. He's going to perform a Yajna that then gives Indra the means of regaining his kingdom. It's for a material purpose. But so stepping back from the material purpose, looking at the big picture of Vedic culture is these observances of etiquettes and these observances of respecting knowledge, because in the ultimate sense, the whole of the Vedic picture is to gradually elevate individuals to the position where they can realize Krishna and their eternal relationship with Krishna. So those that are on that path, the Vaishnavas, regard, according to the example given by our acharyas, we observe etiquettes, but that's not the essence of Krishna consciousness. We don't disregard them because we're Vaishnavas. We regard them, but not as the essence. The essence is our relationship with Krishna and assisting others in that process. I've gone over time already. So any discussion? Yes. Oh, okay. Yes.
Can you comment, if you would? One of the things that I've noticed about Vrindavan is the level of love. In other words, what you're talking about with the etiquette is there are distinctions in Vaishnava culture and Vedic culture.
Hare Krishna.
Ah.
Which really helped things along. In other words, the respect to the guru, the respect to the elders in the Vaishnava culture really seems to be essential in order to receive the mercy.
Yes.
But in the Ritvik idea is like everyone's a kind of level and the same except for Prabhupada. Right, and then, in other words, there's a tremendous leveling. So you have people who may come, a year ago, and they're all Prabhupada disciples, and so there's kind of this leveling. Is that one of the problems that I
well, yes, but at the same time, another kind of a no, because somebody performs the priest function. And they're on another level than, everybody else. It's a little bit like saying, like Prabhupada's comment about Moscow and seeing there's the sweeper in the street and there's the man going into the Kremlin riding in a limousine. Classless society. I mean, there are distinctions even when it says there's no distinctions. And, the person, we won't mention his name, he's in a position above everybody else who's in the same position. So there are distinctions.
So the leveling is artificial.
Yes.
You can't actually.
Yes. It's not only artificial, it's not factual. There are distinctions, even when they say there's no distinctions, even where it's leveled, level playing field. Anything else? Yes?
If somebody is, for example, two Prabhupada disciples are in the morning and deity greeting, whatever, Mangalarati, and I'm supposed to give flower to some of them. One is older than another one, and but this younger one, he exhibits more knowledge, Vedic knowledge. Like Bhagavad Gita is essence of Vedic knowledge, he's more knowledgeable in Srila Prabhupada books. Should I first offer flower to him, even
yes.
if he's younger?
Yes, because the one that's in knowledge will be very humble, and he'll wish you to do like that. There won't be an offense the other way around, but given the frame of your question, that would be my reply. That you could go to you can not ask and just go to the elder Vaishnava, and the younger Vaishnava, who is very knowledgeable, is not going to feel any offense. Yes.
I was going to let it slide, but since you brought up this point of respect based on knowledge, this is not something that you can discern just by looking at somebody or even just by hearing. Because Vishwarupa is promoted as knowing the Vedic mantras, but the way he chanted them, like you said, he had a mouth specifically for chanting precise Vedic mantras, which was very important in those yogis. They had to be precise. Otherwise you'd get some other result than what you wanted.
Right.
Now in our case, for instance, I'll give you an example. I've mentioned this before, but I was at a festival in Laguna Beach many years back when the senior Mahavishnu Maharaj was still with us. So there was this Indian man who said that he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. And I mean, I know a few verses, so I sat down with him when we were chanting, and I was impressed. So I told Maharaj, look, this man knows the entire Bhagavad Gita. And he said, looked him up and down, he said, but where's the bead bag? I don't see any bead bag, he's not chanting, so what's the use? And the guy's, you know, the guy was proudly saying, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to memorize all 18,000 shlokas of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's not about volume. It's not about volume of knowledge. We don't give respect just based on how much you know. It's how you apply that knowledge. Because we've had so many in our own society who could recite from A to Z and then they fall away and they stop practicing. So it's not just about the volume of knowledge. We don't necessarily just on the volume, but it's how you apply that knowledge.
And therefore more respect goes to the Vaishnav than to the learned person. Because he's applying it properly. Yes? You're just holding the microphone. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.